And I appreciate the opportunity to be here. If you need the Holy Ghost this morning, you come to the right place. If you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, you come to the right place. If you need a miracle in your body, you come to the right place. Well, do I have anybody that believes that right now? I know it's Sunday morning, and I know it's the traditional ways to stay seated, but I've come with a made-up mind today. I'm going to get in the presence of God. I come to see somebody get a miracle. I come to see somebody's mindset changed. I come to see somebody get a touch. Amen. Amen. And I'm here this morning to challenge this church. You have messages where you preach and you reach for the lost, and I'll do that throughout this message. But I'm here today to challenge the church. And so 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continuously. Let us make a chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in there. It fell on the day that he came there, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call the Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all of this care. There hast been careful to us with all of this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of hosts? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. When he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived. I want to preach with the help of the Holy Ghost on this simple thought. Enough or more? Enough or more? I believe with all of my heart, and I try not to be a man that speaks words that are so easily spoken that they fall to the ground. But I try to be a man that, especially when I say that I believe or that God has enlightened me or God has said, I say them from the depths of my heart. And I want to tell you today that I believe that you are only scratching the surface of what God has for this church. And I believe with all of my heart that if you will engage yourself in what God is trying to do around here, that you're going to look up in a certain season of your life and look back and say, I cannot believe that God has brought us this far. So I'm going to challenge you in the Holy Ghost today. I wonder if you'll raise your hands all across this house. And we'll take the time to pray. Come on, for the next 45 seconds. I know that don't seem much, but for about 45 seconds, I wonder if you can open up your hearts and your minds to God. Come on, raise your voice all across this house. God's brought you here for a purpose this morning. God's brought you here for a reason this morning. Come on, raise those hands. Raise your voice. Pray to him. That's it. Let's clap our hands all across the house and thank God for being here. Come on, thank him for the anointed singing today. Thank him for everything he's done thus far to get us to this point. Amen. Thank you for being faithful. You may be seated. We begin to read in 2 Kings chapter 4 a story that is taking place in a house inside of a little village called Shunem. There is a prophet that the Bible tells us about by the name of Elisha. There is a husband who is only referred to in this story as old. And there is a Shunammite woman who the Bible gives us in-depth classification on what kind of woman this was. The Bible said that she was a great woman. That word there meant that she was notable. She was good. And so as I read the word and I begin to read this story, a lot of times we're going through our daily Bible reading and we are looking for the high spots of the story. The end of the story is that she conceives a child and the child falls to a sickness, dies, and she goes and she runs to the prophet. The prophet comes back and the child is revived and brought back. And so a lot of times we can overlook some of the things that the Bible has given us in the story because we know the end of the story. We know the end of Noah's Ark. We know the end of Calvary. But I want you to understand that when you're reading the Bible, that these people were living this life that we're reading about. And so she didn't know the end of the story. She didn't know that she was going to have a child. And she was in a point in time in her life to where her language, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but her language was showing us that she was past the point of thinking that she could get her miracle. And the first thing that stands out to me is the characters that are given. We're given where the story's at. We're given what's taking place. We're given the fact that she has an old husband. We're given the fact that the prophet comes by. But the Bible says that she's great. And when we begin to read about this great woman, we're not reading about somebody that is sitting at the end of her life or sitting in the middle of her life or sitting in the first stages of her life stagnant, just saying, everything's good, everything's great, the doors are opening that I won't open. But when we begin to read about this woman, we read about a woman needing a miracle. And I've come to preach to you here on this Sunday morning that you might have come in here and everything seems to be going good or everything's going better than it's ever went before in your life. But I've come to preach to you here. It does not matter how great the situation is. It does not matter how good you're doing. It doesn't matter how much ground that you have gained. I've come to preach to you here in the Holy Ghost this morning that even people that are great need a miracle from God. I've come to preach to you here this morning. Even people that get up and go to work every day, they need a miracle from God. I've come to preach to some people here. Even people that raise their people in the church, they need a miracle from God. Even people that get up on a Sunday morning and come to the house of God that are notable and good and submitted to the man of God, they need a miracle from God. Can I preach to somebody here this morning? I don't think the biggest lie the devil's got away with in 2023 is the fact that you're not good enough to need God. I think the devil's got away with the leverage that you're too good to need a miracle from God. I've come to preach to you here. You can stay on the outer edge saying it's better than it's ever been before. I'm doing better than I've ever done before. But I've come to preach to you here this morning. I don't care how good it's going. I don't care who I've come into contact with. I don't care what God's been doing in my life. I wake up every day looking for a miracle. I wake up every day looking to go deeper in the call of God. I'm thankful for what God's doing around here, but I'm willing to go even more. I'm willing for my business to grow even more. I'm willing to reach out and get closer to the man of God. I'm thankful for the people that's got the Holy Ghost. It's going great, it's notable, but more people need the Holy Ghost. More people need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. More people need Bible studies taught to them. The Bible says she was great, notable, but she needed God. She needed a miracle. She needed a touch. She needed something to happen. And there's a flip side of that too. You're never too good that you have the right to step into the house of God and not give God your best. That's why it's so important that we muster up enough strength to stand to your feet on a Sunday morning and make up in your mind, I'm not too good to raise my hands to God. I'm not too good to stand to my feet and clap my hands one more time. I'm not in a place where I might be preaching. I might be winning souls, but I got to pray more. I've got to fast more. I've got to reach for God more. I've got to worship. I'm never too good. Thank you both for running this morning. You ought to let me know. You're not too good to run the aisles. God's been good to you, but I'm showing God I'm worthy. Come on. I'm showing God you're worthy. I'm showing God it's going good, but I need you to move. I need you to touch. I need you to guide. I need you to lead. Oh, I've come to preach. I've come to preach to us here today. The apostolic church has been plagued with it's good enough, but I don't have the mentality that anything's good enough. As it is in heaven, as it is in heaven, he said, this is what my church, as it is in heaven there is no sickness. We should have services where people's getting miracles, signs, and wonders. Blinded eyes open when the heavens come down. Deaf ears open when the heavens come down. When the heavens started walking on earth, lame people started to be healed. Lepers started to be cleansed. I'm not good enough. Yeah, I'm living for God, Brother Posey, but you're not good enough just to sit there. Yeah, you got here this morning, but you're not good enough to go through the motion. You need more of God. You've got to have more of God. God's got more for you. So, she needs a miracle. Let me bring us to the scripture. She needs a miracle. It gives us, it's just how my mind works, Brother Cowan. It lays out her life in a simple form, a house, where she lives. There's nothing more personal than letting somebody know where you live. It gets personal with her. Can I tell you that God wants to get personal with you? But watch this. Her miracle is going to be performed. Not just because she's good. Her miracle is going to be performed through a man of God. And I want to put this into context. But I'm telling you, God's been unraveling things in my mind. When they talk about Augustus, Kansas, you know what they say? Oh, that's New Life Tabernacle Church. Oh, that's Brother Mark Cowan's church. And it's almost as if God, and I'm not about preacher religion, and I'm not about building the man up and making him this or that, but I am about giving a man honor and respect. And it's almost as if God, you think about it, the people's caught up in Egypt and they don't get out till Moses shows up. When God has his man that he's called to a city, God, help me preach this way, I feel it. When God has his man that he calls to a city, it's almost as if the man is the face of the church, because that's how God has it designed. And I've come to preach to you here that you're not here by accident this morning. And if you're going to get your miracle, it's not just going to be because you shake hands with the man. It's going to be because you're connected to the man that's connected to the church. Can I preach about the church for a little while? I'm not come to preach about the man all by himself. I've come to preach what makes the man of God so special in your life is the man of God connects you to the church of the living God. And if you're going to find out how to be saved, you've got to be in the church. If you're going to find out how to keep enduring, you've got to be in the church. If you're going, it's by the foolishness of preaching. You cannot be saved without a preacher preaching the word of God unto you. And he said, if she's going to get her miracle, there's going to be a man of God involved. And I come to preach to you here today, if you're going to get your miracle, there's got to be the church involved. There's got to be a man of God involved. There's got to be a voice that stands up and preaches to you. There's got to be somebody connected that has a voice in your life that can reach for you and pray for you and reach more and more and more. He said, I'm going to do it through the prophet. I'm going to do it through the man of God. I'm going to do it through a man that's not compromising to the left. I'm going to do it to a man that doesn't get in the ditch over here on the right.
I'm going to do it through a man that has my mind. I'm going to do it through the man that has my heartbeat. I'm going to do it through, I'm preaching to somebody right now. You need to start believing that God's going to fill this church up. Why? Because God has sent a man of God to carry on what God's doing here. God has sent a people that are great and notable that need a miracle from God. And when you get the man of God together and you get the people of God together, can I tell you what that happened? It's not revival. It's called the harvest. It's called miracles, signs, and wonders. It's called breakthrough. It's called new building. It's called new territory. It's called new ground. It's called anointing. It's called God's plan.
And he shows up. The Bible says he comes passing by. And this great and notable woman. I don't know. The Bible don't give us detail. But the Bible shows us that some way or another, she comes into contact with the holies of holies. She comes into contact with something that's different, Brother Calvin. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. I feel as if God has put me in some of your thought process. Some of you have been sitting up thinking, this is too good to be true. This is the word we use around Gina. This is too dogmatic. There's no way that we're going here. There's no way. Brother Calvin, can I just follow the Holy Ghost? Brother Calvin gets up and preaches the vision and the authority that he has. And some of you scratch your head and say, well, that's good, but I just don't see how that's going to happen right here. This has been said. I'm in the Holy Ghost right now. This has been said, but I don't know by who, but this has been said. Well, he just don't know this area. He just doesn't know how it works. I mean, I know he evangelized, and I know this is good, but they just don't get this area. This area right here, it's just too much. Don't you know who's down the road? But this is the difference in people that are settled for enough and people that want something else. The Bible says that when the holies of holies, she didn't have a schedule on the prophet. She didn't know that the prophet was going to come back by next Sunday. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody right now. See, some of us set up on Sunday morning. We said, well, if we don't get it on Sunday morning, we'll get it on Sunday night. That's not how it works, because you're not promised tonight. We're still living a life. Can I tell you, we don't need to get settled down here, because there still is a place called heaven. If you don't have the Holy Ghost this morning, don't be set up that you can come back next Sunday morning, because there's a God coming back very, very soon. They might have been preaching about it for the last 400 or 500 years, but I'm telling you right now, there's a God that's closer to coming back today than he was yesterday. And if today tarries, he's going to be closer to coming back tomorrow. And the Bible says, hear me, as the prophet comes by, she constrains him. She constrains him to come see what she has prepared in the house. In other words, she gets a hold of him. She grabs a hold to him and says, you can't pass by without coming and seeing what I've got prepared. Oh, can I preach there? But if you don't have nothing prepared, you're not going to constrain nothing to come by. But when you've been praying and fasting, and the man of God gets up and starts preaching the vision of where we're going and what we're going to do, and there's new builds on the horizon, and you've been preparing to see that, when the Holy Ghost goes to move, you don't just sit there and say, well, I wonder what will happen. There's something that starts saying, God, you've got to hear what I've been praying. God, you've got to hear, you've got to see what I've been passing. God, you need to know. Come on, I'm looking for my backslider baby to come back. God, I'm looking for my children to come back. God, I'm going to preach to somebody right now. We got to constrain it. We don't know how long it's going to stay, but I got to get a hold to it. I've got to get a hold to the promise. I've got to get a hold to the power. I've got to get a hold to the authority. She said, I've got something prepared. I've been praying. I've been worshiping. I've been clapping. I've been dancing. I've been reading. I've been looking for a miracle. I've been looking for revival. I've been looking for a breakthrough. You're not going to get a miracle coming just saying, I'm here. But when you get your mind made up,
I've come on a Sunday morning to have a breakthrough from God. I showed up on a Sunday morning to see God work miracles out in my life. I've been giving extra in my offering where God would bless me on the job. I've been praying a little bit more where the backsliders will come back home. I've been fasting a little bit more where God will put me in position to see blinded eyes open, to see deaf ears, to see miracles. You've got to come see what I've been cooking. You've got to come see what I've been preparing. You've got to come look and see what's happening in the house. Come see.
There's no telling what could happen. I know you're teaching Bible studies. I can feel the liberty of the Holy Ghost in this house. But I'm preaching to somebody right now. You've got to start preparing something. You've got to get something ready. You don't know how long he's going to stay. You don't know how long he's going to be passing by. You don't know how long the Holy Ghost is opening up this window for us to move forward into a new dimension. And when you're preparing something in the house, you're saying, God, come by here. When you're getting ready for revival, you're saying, God, move right here. You show up saying, who's going to get the Holy Ghost today? Who's going to get a breakthrough today? Who's going to come walking through the back doors today? Prophet comes to see what she has. She walks in the house. He begins to eat on what's been prepared. He begins to feast on what the notable lady has been preparing. But there comes a time, Brother Calvin, when he gets up and he has to leave. And this is what confuses me about the perception of this lady. She's looked at as preparing for her miracle. She's looked at as somebody with this notable, great foresight of what she's been looking for all these years. When I mean, I'm just studying the Bible. Her language shows us elsewise. Think about it. She says, I dwell with my own people. She makes the statement, don't lie to me when they're talking about a miracle. But she still, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Even though her miracle seems too far to obtain, she still knows she come into contact with something that's different than what she's ever come into contact with. And we preach about that she did not have enough to have a miracle, but I submit to you here this morning that the prophet was the representation in the Old Testament. That's why this same prophet we're talking about, that's why when the king went to shoot the bow out of the window, the Bible gives us that little inkling effect that the prophet just laid his hand up on him. These hands have seen miracles, signs, and wonders. This man was the representation of the holies of holies. There was an anointing that walked with this man that did not walk with anybody else in his day. He had the mantle of double portion from the great Elijah. And I submit to you here this morning that she had enough to have the holies of holies set in her living room. And she had enough. I'm about to preach to the church right now. She had enough to show up on Sunday morning and feel the power of God like she hasn't felt in a long time. Some of you, I'm telling you, I can hear it. When I was praying about Sunday morning, I could hear it in the atmosphere. There's some of you, it's better than it's ever been before. You're deeper in God than you've ever been before. You said this, my boys have gained ground that I never thought they would have gained before. I'm in a new place. I'm praying different. I'm fasting different. She had enough to feel the power of God. She had enough to
feel the holies of holy. She had enough to feel the anointing. She had enough for her for hope to walk in her house. That's what the prophet represented. She had enough for hope to sit in her house. She had enough for power to sit in her house. She had enough to show up on Sunday morning and feel the power of God and feel a little bit better than she did on Saturday night. But something started to happen, Brother Calvin. And she looked at the old man. She looked at the man that was labeled at the end of the story of why she couldn't have her miracle in this time of her life. And she said, I perceive. My perception is starting to change. I perceive that this is a holy man of God. And this is not by accident. That's what I've come to brush up against in the spirit today. It's not by accident that he's coming by. It's not by accident that it's going this good. It's not by accident that people's getting the Holy Ghost. It's not by accident that God brought you here. I perceive that we're going to continue to have a moving of the Holy Ghost. I've come to preach your mindset today that you need to get out of your vocabulary. This is accident. This is temporary. And you need to make up in your mind. My perception's telling me that God's getting ready to give revival. My perception's telling me that God's getting ready to baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ. My perception's telling me that this building's good, but there's more. That what we're feeling in the house is good, but there's more. I'm thankful for the great people here, but I see 150 here. I see 300 in the house. I see a home where backsliders can come, but our perception's got to change. My perception's here. This ain't by accident. Revival's here. This ain't by accident. The harvest is here. It's not by accident. God's opened my business up. It's going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to prosper. My perception's saying different. My perception saying there is more. Oh, I'm preaching to a mindset right now. I'm preaching it beneath real response right now. We've got to get it in us. Come on. That God needs you to tap into the Holy Ghost. God needs you to tap in to the vision of the man of God. God needs you to tap in deeper. My perception is that if I tap in, there's 100 soul revival on the horizon. There's 150 coming. There's backsliders coming. It's going to continue to happen. It's going to continue to happen. You can't live by God by accident. Hear me. You don't have miracles by accident. Accidental churches, they go down the drain. Accidental churches go through the motion. But churches with a purpose that have a vision from God, they get ready. They may not think the miracle's on there, but they start getting ready for something. They're just saying, we got to have more of the Holy Ghost. We got to have more power. We got to have more dominion. We got to have more Holy Ghost. We got to have more liberty. We got to have more. We got to have more. We got to have more. I perceive. I perceive. Don't go look at the areas that God has blessed in your life. Don't go look. Oh, can I follow the Holy Ghost this morning? I'm telling you right now, I'm preaching to some people that God has an anointing on your life. I'm preaching to some people that God's reaching for. And all you know to do is let God touch the areas that he's already blessed. She didn't look at the areas that was already blessed in her life. She looked at the old man. Gehazi said, she can't have a child now. Her husband's old. He was one of the problems of why she couldn't have her child in this point in time in her life. And she looked at the very voice that was a reminder that she wasn't going to have a miracle. And she said, I perceive that this is not by accident. I perceive that when he comes back by here, this wasn't a one-time shot. This wasn't just a Sunday morning or Sunday. I rebuke the voice of the adversary that's telling you that you can't live for God and be world class and be first class. I rebuke the voice of the adversary that's telling you that God don't have a purpose for you like he does some of these other people. I'm preaching to some young people right now. I rebuke the voice, young man, that's telling you you're not as good as the one beside you. I'm preaching to you right now. She said, all I know is when he comes back by here, I don't want him just to come and sit for a little while and it leaves and we be the same way. When he comes right by here, if he wants to stay for a little while, I'm going to have somewhere for him to stay. I'm preaching to you here. I feel a moment in the Holy Ghost right now. But if we would start creating things just for God to move and say, when he comes right by, I want there to be room for miracles to happen. I want there to be room for people to pray through. I want there to be room for somebody to feel the liberty of the Holy Ghost. I want there to be room for God to work in me. I want there to be room. I continuously see him coming by. I continuously see the power of God moving. I continuously see revival breaking out in the city.
I got a question for you. Are you satisfied with what you feel right now? Don't answer it based off how I'm wanting you to answer. Let's get real. Are you guilty? Not what you're saying. Are your actions guilty? Because I'm telling you, me and your pastor, we've talked about outreach, all this. He's not living in the days of outreach based off how the church is right now. The things that he's implementing, I hope this is okay, the things that he's implementing in the Holy Ghost and he's implementing to you about outreach, those things he's implementing on a vision scale of when there's 200 and 300 here. Oh, can I preach to us here? There's nothing wrong with being small, but there is something wrong with having a small mentality. We ought to show up and worship like we got 500 or 600 people in the house. You ought to make up the difference of the noise. You ought to worship like you want your youth group to be. You ought to run the aisles like you want the music to be. You ought to jump and shout and dance. Come on, based off of what you want to happen in the next month, not off of what it is right now. There's something on the way. There's a promise on the way. There's power on the way. Perception, closed mouths, they don't get fed. Closed mouths, small mentality, they don't ever arise. Don't let that word, I feel that, man. Don't let that word first class or national level scare you. You can be the door greeter and do it first class. You can mow the grass and do it first class. You can edge the sidewalks and do it first class. You can be in a Wrangler button up with Wranglers and boots on and a long starred hat on and be up there doing it first class. I do it every single day. Everything I do, I've got to do it first class. Everything I do, I've got to do it. Each time this shirt says, I'm not looking here anymore, I'm looking up there. I'm going to do what's here, but I'm doing it with that mindset. I'm going to live right here, but I'm living for tomorrow. He's coming back by. And watch what happens as a piano player comes, Sister Cowan. Watch what happens. She lives her whole life wanting something to happen. And even though her language is speaking a little different, if you need a miracle today, you know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
That miracle deep down, it never dies.
That's right.
Everything in your life may say, I can't have it, but there's something in here that says, I might just see it happen.
Yeah.
The 70-year-old man that's on the job, that's looked for the job promotion all his life, even though the sign doesn't look like he's going to have it, there's something in here that says, I might still get it. It's human nature.
Ooh, yeah.
Human nature fights to live.
Right. Yeah.
We can all get up and say, I'm not scared to die. But let me tell you, let death come knocking on your door. Your body's automatically going to fight to live.
Right.
How do you think they unplug people and that person sits there and fights to live? It's just human nature. There. Even the people that don't fight for a purpose, deep down somewhere, they still want a purpose.
Yeah. So
her mindset, even though she's not speaking as though she can have her miracle, because some of us is guilty in the house right now, there's something in her that's saying, I wish I could have had that. And she starts preparing. Oh, I'm going to preach this. She starts adding on. And you know the first thing you've got to do to add on, church? You've got to tear out. And that's where some of us is at right now. We don't know how to take the spiritual hammer and tear out the things in our life that needs to be tore out, where we can have more of God to work in our life. I don't know how I could dress like this. I don't know how I could do this. I don't know how I can do that. I don't know how I can come to the altar. You don't understand. I only know some of these people right here. I don't know how I could ever have this mindset of this. You'll never see it if you don't start tearing out the things that's in your way. She starts tearing out, Brother Cowan. She starts adding on. And this is what I come to preach to us. I believe, even though her language shows us that she really and truly didn't know how it could happen, I believe she starts preparing. She starts preparing for the things of God. As though this is just theory, this isn't doctrine. I believe that she starts preparing for the things of God in her life, like it was though she was preparing for the miracle. I believe, Brother Cowan, as she starts in that room, she starts saying, if I'd have had this boy, I would have put the bed right here. If I would have got my milk, I'd have put the candlestick right here. I'd have put the stool right here. I'd have made sure he had somewhere to sit. And watch what happens. Watch. Watch. She lives a life. When you need a miracle, am I still in the Bible? When you need a miracle, what's the Bible say? Ask. Knock. Seek. John said, now is the time when the true worshipers shall worship him in spirit and in truth. What is worship? When you're worshiping him with everything you've got. I've never been in a place of worship that I did not feel that I couldn't ask him for anything. But watch what happens, and this is what I've come to preach. This is what I want to happen today. She lives her life asking and begging. But when the Holies of Holies comes back by here, he says this, look at how she's prepared for us. Look at how she's been living her life. I'm telling you, I'm going to preach a message to some youth. What you do in the dark will come out in the light. Look at how she's been praying when nobody's looking. Look at how God's been dealing with her when she's been in her car going to the job or going to school. Look at what she's been doing. Look at what happened after that last Sunday night altar call. Look at how her life is, and watch what happens when the prophet sees how she's been caring for the things of God. I don't believe, Brother Cowan, that she was doing it for a miracle. I believe she was doing it for the prophet. I believe she was doing it for the Holies of Holies. Get your mindset. Believe that God can give you a miracle, but get your mindset off of a motive and show up and worship him in truth. Worship him in spirit. Because watch what happens. Watch what happens.
Hallelujah.
All of a sudden it goes from her having to ask what she wants to the prophet
saying,
what would she like? What does she need? But Calvin, hear me right now on this Sunday. I believe, I'm telling you, and I'm not trying to build you up to these people. I'm telling you, and I could probably tell you this in the car by myself. I believe that there's been something that's happened in your life to where it's turned a corner and you're not having to just sit up and beg God anymore. That God's looking down saying, what does the man want today? And I believe that same thing that he's been through and the same thing that God's opened up to him in the spirit, God's getting ready to open up for you. That you just show up and he says, oh, there's my servant right there. You know what? They've been looking for the Holy Ghost. I'm fixing to do this right here. Oh, you know what? They've been looking for a job. I'm fixing to open up the head. Oh, you know what? They've been looking for that backside to come. The spirit draws nigh, right? Oh, they've been looking for that new deal to open up, Brother Calvin. I'm fixing to get ready. I'm preaching to us here today that when you get the mentality that I don't have enough, I've got to have more, the heavens start pouring out their blessings on you. The heavens start raining down power and authority into me. The heavens start raining it down saying, there's a miracle on the way. There's a harvest on the way. There's a revival on the way. There's a breakthrough on the way. I want you to raise your hands right now, because you don't have to wait till Sunday night.
You don't have to wait till Wednesday night. Last time I checked, it took 9 months to have a child. And the Bible says she conceived and had a child due to that next season. That means that her miracle started in that moment right there. I believe your miracle could start. You may not see it tonight, but I believe the miracle could start right now. Come on, I want you to raise your hands all across this house. If you need the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
Come on, if she gets ready to sing. Enough mentality says we'll pray for a few minutes and go home. A more mentality says I've got to go deeper. I've got to respond based off of what I've been looking for. Come on, church, raise those hands up.
I'm claiming my promise. God has promised to me. I'm standing.
Come on, young man, lead us.
His word
is
for
me. You should be whole.
The devil can't stop the blessing till I'm the way. I'm claiming my promise today. I'm claiming my promise.
Come on, if you need the Holy Ghost right now, all you've got to do is just put in your sins. That's it, sister. Let the Holy Ghost help you. That's it, brother.
The devil can't stop it.
I'm telling you, God's getting ready to pour out in this house.
I'm claiming my promise today.
Let's get with your neighbor beside you and just pray with him.
I'm claiming my promise.
Oh, in Jesus' name. Come on, if you're here, you need the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in another tongue. You just yield to it. Once you begin, it's a promise.
I'm claiming my promise today. I'm claiming my promise. God has promised to me. I'm standing my ground. It's what I believe. The devil can't stop the blessing till I'm the way. I'm claiming my promise today. Claim it. Claim your promise today. Claim it. The blessing till I'm the way.